I could see their features and see the agony and the pain and the frustration. And a number of them began to call my name and said, "Ronnie, don't come to this place. There's no way out. There's no escape. If you come here, there's no way out." And I looked into the faces of one that had died in a robbery attempt, who had been shot to death and bled to death on the sidewalk. And I looked in the face of two others that had died drunk in an automobile accident. And I looked into the face of others that had died of drug overdoses that we had partied together, and the agony and the pain. But I believe the most painful part of it was the loneliness. And the depression was so heavy that there was no hope. There was no escape. There was no way out of this place. And the smell was like sulfur, like an electric welder. And the stench was terrible. And as I looked at this, I had seen people killed. I had been involved in fights where people were killed. I've done time in prison for manslaughter myself. I grew up basically in a reform school and in a jail cell. I was beat on mercifully as a child by a father that had temper problems and alcohol problems. I was a runaway at 12 years old, and I felt like there was nothing in this world that could frighten me. My life was wrecked. My marriage was wrecked. My health was wrecked. But now I'm seeing something that literally scares me to death because I don't understand it. And as I'm looking into this pit, this place of fire and screams and torment, I fade out into blackness. And when I open my eyes, I'm in a hospital room in Knoxville, Tennessee. My wife is sitting by. There had been multiple stitches put in my body. My arm was spared. There was almost 100 stitches. And I looked in the face of my wife, and I wasn't concerned about where I was or anything around me. All I could visualize was what I had just seen.
He had this funny look on his face, and it was a terrifying look. And he said, "I don't really know what's happened to me," but he said, "I've been in a terrible place." And I kept telling him, "You're in the hospital. You've been in the hospital all along." And he kept saying, "No." He said, "I've been in another place." He said, "I don't know exactly what it was, but," he said, "it was terrible. It's a terrible place."
I could still hear the screams. I could still smell the terrible smell. I could still feel the heat. And I could still hear the voices of people that I'd known through the years screaming for me to go back. And through the days to come, I tried every way to get that out of my mind. I tried to get drunk. I could not get drunk. I tried to get stoned. I could not get stoned. I tried everything that I could to get this off my mind, and I could not. One morning, several months later, I came home to where my wife was. I'd been trying to get drunk. I couldn't. And when I walked in the house, went back to the bedroom, the light was burning. My wife was sitting up in bed, and she had a large book open on her lap. And she looked up at me, and her face was literally shining. And she said, "Ronnie, open. Tonight, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." And she didn't have to say a lot to me. Our life had been filled with agony. She grew up in Chicago. Her father was a bartender on the south side of Chicago. She knew nothing about God or church or religion. And the pain in her face, the wrinkles that I'd put in her face with abuse and violence and alcoholism and drug addiction, being gone for months at a time and her and the kids not knowing where I was, her face had changed. The wrinkles were literally gone. The smile had replaced the sorrow and agony. And she looked at me and she said, "Jesus, save me tonight." And she said, "Would you go with me and hear about this man called Jesus?"